few announcements before the homily. First, a reminder that right after Mass, we have our novena to St. Peregrine for all those who are fighting cancer and for the consolation of their caregivers. So I hope you can stay. I invite you to remain in your pews. The deacon servers and I will go over to the statue. We ask you to face in that direction for those prayers. Also, after the novena, I'll be back in the confessional. If you have need of receiving that sacrament, that will be available. Lastly, as you're leaving today, I was supposed to give a talk around this time. It was canceled. So I had a few extra books that should have been for available at that talk. And of course, the talk's canceled, so now the books are available. So they're outside. I tried to keep them as low as possible in terms of cost. But if you're interested, the one book, God's Search for Us, I think it's a powerful lesson we've forgotten. Long before we think about searching for God, He has already been passionately searching for us. A book talks about that. Secondly, it's a book, the second book is on Catholic bioethics. We are the Lord's. Some of those end-of-life questions. Actually, it reflects a Vatican document that was just released this past week on euthanasia. So it's important as Catholics, as Christians, we understand how we approach this. What happens when our unbelieving neighbor starts to speak about euthanasia, physician-assisted suicide? Are we ready to respond? We should be. We need to defend life. That book can be one resource, one possible help. So, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So imagine if someone were to come up to you and say, I've really been thinking about this, and I've decided that I'm going to go ahead and become your slave. And they're not being funny. They're being sincere. That they're going to completely strip themselves of their dignity, and they're just going to become your slave. I will be your property, like your couch, like your car. I just want to be your slave. What would you say? Well, first you say, are you sure you're okay? Say, no, I can't do that. They say, no, I've really thought about this, and I've decided in my freedom that I'm just going to go ahead and completely give my life in total property value to you. But of course, we would say, no, that's not possible. You cannot do that. It's my body. It's my person. I'm free. I can do whatever I want. And I will be your slave. So I can't be a part of this. This is a violation of freedom and of dignity. I will not be a part of this, right? Can you understand the reasoning and the logic? Well, that's exactly the reasoning that the Vatican used this past week in speaking about euthanasia. We are free, but we are bound in a network of relationships and responsibilities. We are bound to our dignity that we have not given to ourselves. We cannot take our life. We cannot ask a doctor who is under a promise to preserve life to take our life. We are opposed as Christians vehemently to euthanasia and to physician-assisted suicide. The Church was very clear. The Church reminds us in this beautiful document this week entitled The Good Shepherd, reminding us that the Lord is our shepherd and we are called to be shepherds to one another, that the only adequate response to another, especially one who is suffering and ill and in anguish, the only proper response to that person is love. Not a false pity, not a false mercy, not a desire to destroy them because their suffering is too much for us, or because we can't carry the weight of the sorrow or the depression or even sometimes the desire for self-destruction that they might struggle with. You know, we who are their caregivers, we who are called to be the good shepherds, we carry that. We remind them, you are a child of God. God loves you. This suffering does not have the last word. I will walk with you. You will not be alone. Offer this suffering for the redemption of our family and for those that we love and for our parish and for the salvation of the entire world. This is the response of the Christian. When did we begin to think as the unbelievers? When did we allow the false lies and the misdefinitions of mercy into our own hearts? So many, even among believers, well, it's better that they're dead. What type of life was that anyway? Bite your tongue. You are baptized. You belong to Jesus Christ, who is life. And we protect and guard life, and we cherish it. We serve it. We are not its masters. We cannot strip ourselves of a dignity or freedom. If we begin to accept that, we'll begin to accept that others want to enslave themselves to us. Does dignity just become trash or something that's held by the powerful and the elite? Because it's coming. If we allow euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide in this country, as we see throughout Europe, we will begin to see that human life is considered throwaway and trash, and only the powerful can preserve it. Look at the Netherlands. They're killing children. Children. After birth. Down syndrome, baby. We missed that one. Better just take it out. Better that the child's dead. We hear this. This is not made up. You can Google this. These are actually medical opinions and decrees from the courts of the Netherlands. Because this is what happens when you remove human dignity and proper freedom. We return to barbarism. We don't like to feel uncomfortable or pushed beyond our comfort zone or told that we are called to serve others or to die to ourselves. We become very selfish. And we turn on the weak and the vulnerable and we destroy them. Because we are fallen. And a civilization without moral truth and grace is barbaric. Remember who we are, what we have been told to share, to whom we have been consecrated. Our lives are not our own, nor are the lives of our neighbors our own, nor is it theirs. We are Christians. We follow a vastly different creed. We follow a very different way. We die to ourselves to follow the most excellent way of love. Regrettably, Mother Church must sometimes be a disciplinarian. She is mother. She loves, but she also disciplines. Which is why, very sadly, this week we were given further instructions. Anyone who assists with euthanasia or physician-assisted suicide is to be barred from the sacraments. Barred from the sacraments. The grace of God cannot work in them. Someone who is dying by physician-assisted suicide or euthanasia will be refused the sacraments because we will not be accomplices to this grave offense against human life. Dear friends, if that doesn't spell and speak clearly, then let me explain. That is the severest discipline Mother Church can give, to have someone dying, preparing for judgment, and be told you cannot receive the sacraments because what you are doing is gravely offensive and foreign to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have no hope for your salvation. That's how serious this is. We need to understand as Christians our way of life, what we are called to be, what we are called to share, how we are called to die to ourselves, how we are called to serve, how we are called to protect human life. We Christians regard God as the author of all life. Isn't it beautiful in the Eucharistic prayer? Right before we declare that final doxology, we remind God the Father in Christ, you fill it with life. You bless it, fill it with life, and you give it to us. It's not ours to take. It's not ours to destroy. It's not ours to judge. We are servants, and we are called to gladly serve and defend life. Let the unbeliever wallow in their barbarism, but we Christians, we are different. Make sure you realize that. Live that. Seek God's grace to die to that fallenness and the poison we see in this world, that life somehow is no longer worthy, no longer merits our care, that we can somehow give up on it. That's not our response. We are Christians. We better act like it.